Well, it's time to party for the UConn women. You got a parade. They had a great reception back at Storrs after winning the 12th national title of the Gino Auriemma era, the 82-59 victory over South Carolina on Sunday. It was just an incredible finish to the season. I mean, they just rolled everybody for the last, I don't know how long, multiple weeks. Listen, Don Mamore of the Hartford Courant, joined us before the game, and now he joins us, afterward to get a little recap. You back on nutmeg soil?
Connecticut is the place for me to be. I am back home.
How was it?
Oh, it was pretty much what you saw on TV. It was very exciting. It was, the all UConn show, and some people were questioning, how a number two seed playing with three number one seeds in the Final Four could be the talk of the Final Four. But you saw why, obviously, when they got on the court, that UConn really never should have been a number two seed, that once they got everyone healthy and rolling in February, they had the three best players on the floor in nearly every game they played.
It was incredible, and I think about, the two ridiculous romps over South Carolina and some other games. Like, if UConn gets ahead and you can't shoot, they're unbeatable. I mean, like, South Carolina, just they're not – and, I thought that their coach said it well. It's like you have to get them in a tight game. And, you can't come back on these guys.
Yeah, the games they lost were tight, the three games they lost, and they were also games that – AZ didn't play in one of them. It was her first game back, and she barely played in another one of them. It took really multiple years for Paige and AZ to be healthy on the court together and get that rolling. And then you add it with Sarah Strong. And again, who could match those three? If Paige and AZ were healthy together the last couple of years, when they had Aaliyah Edwards, they might have won a couple of others too. Mm. So it's really, you hate to keep putting everything on injuries, but this program's had an extraordinary number of injuries to its best players and rarely could put the team out on the court that Gino Auriemma put together.
Yeah.
Now you saw that what could happen when that team was out there on the court. And I'll tell you what, they won't be the same next year without Paige, but they still have the other two. And if someone's going to beat them next year, they better be an awfully good team.
Yeah, I mean, I look at them all, and Paige didn't even need to play her best game. I mean, AZ Fudd was incredible, and Sarah Strong is like, she's like a revelation to be that strong. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be able to shoot with that touch, to do what she does at her age is just really stunning, to be quite honest. And, I want you to compare it to others, but I also want you to speak to, I feel like this was really important for Gino. Because, he doesn't have, the best recruiting class coming in next year. Sarah Strong was obviously top of the heap when she came in, but hadn't won in 9 years. A lot of his cohort is already retired or leaving. And for him to get back on top, it kind of felt like a big, really, really big deal.
I think it does. He may not make it such. He may not say it is. But, to me it is. And, I think everyone wants to go out on top. Very few people actually do it. I mean, a lot of them, most people do hang on too long. Coaches, players, et cetera, they come back. But in Gino Auriemma's case, I don't think he wanted to retire on 10 or 11 years since his last title. I don't think he wanted to retire that way. I think he wanted to get one more. And now, if he coaches two or three or four more years and doesn't win another one, he's not going out on 10 years without one. He's proven that he can be successful in this decade, this era, just as well as he was in the previous one. So I think on that sense, from a historical standpoint, I think it kind of gives him the ability to go out at any point now and say he's going out on top or feel like he's going out on top because he's on top right now at age 71.
Yeah, it's incredible. Dom Amore from the Hartford Current joining us here on Brian & Company. You can read all his coverage, you know, of course, around the Women's Final Four and beyond at current.com. Your sense, though, is even with Paige leaving the number one, you would assume the number one pick in the WNBA draft, you think that this team could repeat?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have, you know, Sarah Strong. You're going to have Azy Flood together, assuming they're healthy now. You know, K.K. Arnold and Ashlyn Shade are going to be a year older and ready to play a much bigger role. I think Jenna Alalfi is going to be better with this year under her belt. It's going to give them some strength there. And it's just a matter, and you know that with the position that UConn's in, virtually any player in the transfer portal that he wants, he's probably going to be able to get to fill a need, to fill a specific need. So, you know, I do think that, again, it won't be the same when you lose Paige Beckers, but again, it's going to take an awfully good team to beat them. Because remember, the reason that you saw what you saw is the defense they played, the steals, the pressure, the constant defense. That's why nobody could come back on them, because they were never going to get nobody could make a run against them with that the defense they played, and they're still going to have that.
And they're so unselfish, and they can shoot. I mean, I really immerse myself in these kids. You know, I could talk about each one of them and give you some sort of laudatory comment. I just really, really enjoyed this group of young women. But put Paige, we have about a minute here. I mean, obviously a huge legacy of stars both on the men's and women's side. How do you place her in context with the UConn greats?
Well, I think you've got to put her right up with in the lead group, in the top group. I think she, you know, I think she accomplished what she did in an era when it's tougher to do it because there are more good teams and more good players. She accomplished it in an era where she didn't necessarily have all the great players around her until these last 6 weeks. And, you know, she set obviously great individual records, great individual numbers for herself, but within, as you pointed out, within the context of a team, because you saw in that championship game, even though she didn't necessarily shoot the ball that well or she wasn't the leading scorer, but she does so many things to help you win, even if it's just diving for loose balls. It's one of the reasons why she was injury prone. So she certainly belongs in the lead class. I mean, obviously, this is a program that's got four Hall of Famers now, and it'll probably have four or five more in the next few years. It wouldn't be surprised if she one day ends up in the Hall of Fame as well. So I think she's somebody who is you're going to see her number up there on the wall with the retired numbers. I think someday, and that's she belongs there. Yeah. If there's a Mount Rushmore of UConn basketball, she certainly belongs on it.
Dom, we appreciate the time. Great job, as always. Thank you so much.
You got it. Anytime, Brian.